Now, boys and girls, it's great to have you in with us this morning. We're going to encourage everyone again to open up their Bibles to page 1220 as we study God's Word together. We remember this is God speaking to us. It's as if God is in the room with us right now speaking to us, and we want to be able to hear Him and to listen to Him. And so it's always good to have His Word open, and we're also going to ask for His help now. So let's pray together. Father God, we do thank you that you are a God who loves us, and you've shown that love to us in sending Jesus, that our sins are forgiven and we've been welcomed in to your family. We're part of that great flock of heaven. Thank you that you're also a God who speaks to us. Although you are big and great, you come down to speak to us. And so we pray that you would help us to listen now, that by your Spirit you would calm us and open up our minds and our hearts, that we would listen and hear and respond accordingly. And that, Father, all of us will be blessed as we listen now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, back in the good old days, Man United had Alex Ferguson, Sir Alex Ferguson. Liverpool had Jurgen Klopp. Microsoft had Bill Gates, and Apple had Steve Jobs. And the point I'm making here is that in the business world, in the sporting world, strong leadership, having good, strong leaders, will always lead to a flourishing team or company. People with vision, people with a work ethic, people who know their stuff, will lead their company, their team well, and lead them to success. Strong leadership leads to a flourishing team or company. In our passage, the Apostle Peter underlines the fact that it's also the same in the church. Strong leadership, faithful shepherding, is vital for the flourishing of the flock of God. The letter that we're reading to, the Apostle Peter's letter, is written, if you go back to chapter 1, is written to elect exiles. It's written to believers who were scattered across modern-day Turkey, and we were facing suffering for following Jesus. 1 Peter could be described as a discipleship manual. It's a guide for living for God in a hostile culture. And after all the things that Peter said, he begins this final section by addressing the shepherds, giving them final instructions for the whole flock and how they might bond together to glorify God. This morning we're going to focus especially on God's words to elders given through the Apostle Peter. In our passage today, Peter appeals to the elders and he explains the reason for addressing the issue of leadership in Christ Church. He explains their responsibilities as leaders in Christ Church, and he gives them encouragement through the reward that awaits them for faithfully serving in Christ Church. In the midst of suffering, Peter calls on the leaders of Christ Church to honour their Saviour through faithful, Christ-like leadership. With the Christ-like leadership, the church will flourish as it pursues Christ-likeness in a world that would oppose the believer. So today, in our final sermon considering the eldership, we learn what an elder must do and why. Once again, we're given much to ponder and to pray about as we prepare to elect elders to shepherd us in the years to come. So firstly, let's see the reason. Our focus is on verse 1, where we see the reason for Peter addressing leadership is related both to their call and the relationship with the caller. The call and their relationship with the caller. On the 23rd of June, 1963, President John F. Kennedy addressed 120,000 people in Berlin, famously declaring, "Ich bin ein Berliner." Now, if there's any German speakers, I apologise if that pronunciation wasn't quite right. But he was seeking to express a solidarity, a connection with the citizens of West Berlin in the midst of the Cold War. Not long after Kennedy declared his speech, however, the claim arose that he misspoke, that instead of identifying himself with the people of West Berlin, he'd actually identified himself as a jam donut. They thought he'd got the dialect wrong. Since then, that claim has been, tempting as it may be, has been debunked, that he wasn't actually doing that. He was, in fact, declaring his solidarity, his connection with these people. And in fact, this willingness of the President of the United States, the leader of the free world, to publicly identify with these people on the world stage as they were struggling, helped them as their enemy, Nikita Khrushchev, was building this wall through Berlin. The fact that the President of the United States would say, "I am with you," helped those people endure those difficult days that they would face. It was a powerful signal of solidarity with a suffering people. Solidarity with a suffering people. And that's, in verse 1, what the Apostle Peter is doing. He says to the elders among you, "I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who will also share in the glory to be revealed." He's saying, "I am one of you, and I need to address you, I need to encourage you, I need to teach you." Now, in some translations, the passage begins actually with the word "therefore." And as we know, every time we read a "therefore" in the Bible, we want to look back to what's happened in the passage before. We need to look back to see and understand the passage we're reading better by seeing the context. And if you look back in that previous paragraph, we see that Peter was warning the believers that they were to expect suffering. Not that it might happen, but that it would happen, that they should expect it. And this suffering in the form of persecution would be what God would use to purify the church and to accomplish his purposes in the world. As Peter begins verse 1, he is keenly aware that the first people who will face this suffering, this fiery trial, this persecution, would be the leadership of God's people. As the church faces suffering, the elders have the high calling to bear the brunt of the suffering of the church. Not only that, but also they must set an example as they suffer. They must prepare God's people to suffer faithfully. So as we elect elders, but at every stage in the life of the church, we need to take heed of what Peter says here. The men ordained to the eldership, both in the past and today, are to lead us, this congregation, God's people here and now, through fiery trials as they protect and guide with godly wisdom and grace. We should never forget that we have an enemy who would seek to devour and to destroy us. So we must pray, and we must pray for our elders as they would seek to lead us through in a God-glorifying manner. One of the reasons that we need elders, one of the reasons for which Christ has given us elders in his church, is because following Jesus is a costly business. Of course, Peter knows that to be a leader in the church means becoming a particular object, a particular target of demonic opposition. And so he wants the elders to know that he's standing with them and that he's offering them a model, an example for them to follow as they would seek to lead and to model Christ-likeness to their flock. Peter is keenly aware that the calling of the elder is high, and so he addresses the elders with sensitivity and humility, and he then reminds them of the one who called them, the caller. As Peter appeals to the elders, he puts his focus on Christ's life and death as an example to follow. As Christ was glorified through suffering, so suffering is the glorious path for God's people, and especially the elders of God's people. The reference to Christ's suffering also functions as a reminder to the elders that just as Christ was willing to suffer for them, they also should be willing to suffer, to endure hardship for the sake of those in their churches. However, in these words, we should also remember that Peter's witness was initially one of failure. Remember how under pressure his courage failed and he denied his Lord not once, not twice, but 3 times, and then ran away and hid. And yet he is also witness of the wonderful power of restoration from sin and the call to serve God in the gospel. Peter's own experience of Christ was one of repentance and restoration. Peter had a vital and growing relationship with Jesus, which is crucial for all who would seek to lead in Christ's church. From Peter, we learn that leaders must walk with the caller as they pursue their calling. Only a daily experience of his grace can sustain us in the fight. So there's the reason for addressing the leaders in the church. Then secondly, we learn of the responsibilities of the leaders in Christ's church. The responsibilities. We can see already that a heavy calling has been placed on the elders. They are to shepherd the flock in suffering. They are to be the first to face suffering and to bear the brunt of suffering. But now Peter would explain how they are to pursue that calling in more detail. In verses 2 to 3, Peter lays out the God-given responsibilities of the elder. Peter calls the elder to shepherd the flock, to serve as an overseer, and to set an example with loving concern. I'm going a wee bit too far in these slides. So first of all, the elders to shepherd the flock. Verse 2 says, be shepherds of God's flock under your care. Here we see, and we recall, Jesus' own words to Peter in John 21. Remember that scene on the beach as Jesus meets with Peter, and Jesus says to Peter, do you love me? Peter says, of course I do. Jesus says then, shepherd, feed, love my flock. Peter's taking us all the way back to that scene and reminding elders of what they are to do. Peter himself was commanded to show love by feeding the flock and tending Jesus' sheep. And he says that the elders in Christ's church are to do the same. That day on the beach, Peter learned from his Lord that a spiritual shepherd does his job in two ways. The first way is to feed the sheep, to engage God's flock in God's word and help them to think biblically. That was the great emphasis of verses 15 to 17 in John 21. And then another aspect of shepherding is to tend the sheep. The sheep are prone to wander. They're vulnerable to attack. The sheep need protecting, guiding, nurturing, and care. The spiritual shepherd is one who displays a personal care and attention for each sheep by guiding them to Christ and to his word. The elder is one who seeks to disciple the flock so that they might know the fullness that's found in following Jesus. Spiritually shepherding, shepherding faithfully then is no easy job. It's a task that never ends. It demands the supernatural power of God. And it's a true expression of Christian love. Elders must remember that the flock belongs to God, and so they must show great care to the sheep. And the sheep must remember that they are ultimately answerable to God for how they've obeyed their spiritual leaders. So both sheep and shepherds have a great responsibility to each other, to come together, to help each other, so that we might walk God's path together. The elder is not just a shepherd, he's also an overseer. In verse 2, we see the job of being a shepherd could also be understood as being an overseer. And that word for leadership, a word we've looked at already earlier on in this series, really means someone who watches over or who manages the work, who's a supervisor of the work. That's where the word comes from. And in the context of the church then, it means that elders have a responsibility to oversee the ministry of the congregation and to exercise spiritual authority over those under their care. The elder then must be among the sheep and must know them well, but elders must also be above the sheep and lead and guide them. So in looking at potential elders, we're looking for those who display both a deep concern for the people in the congregation, but also those who display spiritual wisdom and maturity. Those who we trust to make decisions when it comes to areas of worship, of mission, pastoral care, fellowship, discipleship, and ministry to youth and children. Again, we must be aware that the responsibilities placed on the shepherd are a heavy burden. Being a spiritual shepherd to the flock has many dangers. Indeed, Peter warns of those dangers in the passage. He says that the elders are to avoid the sins of laziness, seeing ministry as just another task to be performed, and also the sin of greed, of seeking earthly compensation of any type. As the elder serves God's people, he must be aware of the temptation to fall into any of these two sins. And we must all recognise that the elders can become overwhelmed by what's expected of them. They're tempted to shirk back when we see the challenge ahead of them. And all of us at times, and especially elders, will feel that their costly task can be a thankless one. And they might desire compensation of some sort. So the sheep must pray for the shepherds. And they must humbly submit to their guiding. Pray that their elders would experience God's love so that they might serve God's people with a willing heart, a heart of love. Pray for wisdom and for discernment so that the under-shepherds would lead where the chief shepherd would have us go together. So elders must shepherd the flock, they must oversee the flock, and they must set an example to the flock. Verse 3 says, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Here, Peter warns the elders against pride. Pride seeks the interests of self at the expense of others. Pride is the lust for power and prestige, which itself shows itself in those who boss others around, rather than lovingly showing them the way. This is not the way for the elders in Christ Church. Indeed, God's word is clear that elders are to exemplify the character of Christ in those under their care. Elders are to be like Christ, gentle and lowly, compassionate and kind, decent and respectable. Elders are also to be like Christ in their willingness to say what the sheep need to hear and to lead the sheep where they may not want to go. So elders must be courageous and resolute, graciously unshaken in the face of opposition, crystal clear on their purpose and prayerfully dependent on the Father. All in leadership positions in the church should realize the requirement to live a life worthy of imitation is not optional. That we are to set an example. We are to be worthy of following. This is a challenging responsibility, but it's one that must be fueled by God's grace. So the elder must be one who's utterly committed to Christ and the work of Jesus in the lives of the congregation. The elder ultimately is to be a model of what being a Christian really should be. As he lives his life, he raises the spiritual temperature of the people and the flock flourish. So as we ponder and pray in preparation to elect the elders, we should be asking ourselves, does this person remind me of Christ in their words and works? Do they point me to Jesus and inspire me to follow him more closely? Is theirs an example I'd like to follow? I'd like my children to follow. Peter teaches us that God wants men who are gentle without being weak. He wants those who are patient without being indifferent. Those who are flexible without surrendering principle. Those who will be examples to the flock, prepared to sacrifice for the cause of Christ in the church and in the world. This is a huge challenge, a costly business. So then finally, Peter reminds the elders of their reward. Those of us who have ever at any point tried to get fit or to lose weight know that there'll always be that moment or several moments where we just want to give up. The thought of going to the gym again just seems too much. The trying not to have that extra piece of chocolate fudge cake, we just wonder, is it really worth it? It just looks so delicious. But we often find that those who do succeed in losing weight, those who succeed in getting fit, well, they have a goal that they want to reach. They have in their mind a reward that they want that helps them keep going when the going's tough. It might be buying a slimmer fitting pair of clothing or just having a treat day. But the reward is what keeps them going when everything seems too tough. And the reality is that being an elder in the Church of Christ will be tough. And there will be times when elders feel like giving up. They will wonder if it's worth it. Usually this happens when we take our eyes off eternity, when we take our eyes off the all-satisfying chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter is well aware of this reality, and so in verse 4 he says, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." Notice, first of all, that Peter reminds the elders, the shepherds, that they too have a shepherd, the chief shepherd. So elders, we must remember this morning that each one of us is loved and looked after by the Lord of the universe. That we have a shepherd who would seek to shepherd us as we shepherd his flock. We also have a Lord who is a returning Lord. Christ's return should be an encouragement for all of us in suffering. It should be a motivation for all of us in faithful service to know that Christ will return one day. The day is coming when we will be with him in his perfection. That should make everything that we do for Christ worth it. Peter, in his epistle of hope, also reminds the elders of their reward so they can keep going when it all seems too tough. Faithful shepherds are promised a crown of glory. Here Peter is using the imagery of the day where citizens who had won a victory would be given a garland of ivy or olive to celebrate their victorious triumph. But eventually the leaves would wither and the crown would be no more and the honour would be forgotten. But the crown of the chief shepherd, the one that he gives to those who are faithful in service, will it never withers. It consists of a glory, an eternal glory that never fades. The eternal reward for faithful, victorious service is infinitely more important and more glorious than any other crown. The chief shepherd will provide a crown of glory to those who serve his own pattern of selfless leadership of the flock. So here lies the power to serve as an elder in Christ's church, looking back to what Christ has done, his sacrifice to justify us, and looking forward to that day when he returns and we are brought into his glorious presence forever. All of it is taken care of. All of it is of grace. And this enables us to live and to lead him and his people. Just a word to the flock before we close. For all of the sheep, remember that leadership in this church, the leadership in this church, we are only human. You are not the only sheep in the flock. So be patient and be prayerful. Encourage those who are responsible for your care. Remember that we are all in this together to please the Lord and to build this kingdom. We shouldn't be experiencing friendly fire, but loving submission, humble prayers, and mutual love. Everything in the local church rises and falls with the leadership. That is the way that God has designed it. No matter the occasion or the circumstances, the leaders of Christ's church must be followers of Jesus who have a vital and growing relationship with him. They must be folk who have a loving concern for the people under their care and a real desire to please Jesus, their chief shepherd. Elders lead by serving and serve by sacrifice, but they do so for Christ, knowing that this is the way that he did and glorified his Father. Let's pray together. Father God, our prayer is that today we would have heard from you, been challenged and encouraged, conformed more to your likeness, understood your truth, and be more prepared to elect the elders of your calling that would bless this congregation here. We pray that you would continue to lead and to guide us in faithfulness to the chief shepherd, in the days and weeks to come, both as a congregation in our election of elders, but also as individuals. Would we be those who honour our chief shepherd in word and thought and deed? We pray this in his precious name. Amen.